بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد. الحمد لله. In the previous lessons, we completed a study of the first taqseem, the first categorization of words in the Arabic language according to the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh. And the first categorization was into four types: khas, am, mushtarak, and muawwal. Khas and am, what they had in common was that they both have a ma'nan ma'alum. In other words, they have a single meaning, a known meaning. Whereas mushtarak is a homonym which has two meanings. From a literal point of view, literally it has two meanings. Okay, its wada, its original usage and creation, is for more than one meaning. Then furthermore, we can expand. Sometimes when a mushtarak word, the mushtahid must delve into it further, think about it, and decide which meaning is intended. And once that is done, then that now becomes a muawwal. And a mu'awwal will also be either khas or am, so the same rulings will apply. And then the difference between khas and am is khas refers to a single unit, a specific individual, whereas am refers to a collection of individuals or units, and therefore there is a possibility of excluding certain individuals. So this taqseem, the first taqseem, was related to the literal meaning of the word. Okay, it was بِاعتبار الوضع. Okay, بِاعتبار الوضع. Now we have التقسيم الثاني بِاعتبار الاستعمال. The words can be categorized into a further four types based on usage, how they are used. Okay. So اللفظ بِاعتبار استعماله في المعنى الموضوع له أو غيره. وباعتبار استعماله مع انكشاف معناه واستتاره على أربعة أقسام: الحقيقة والمجاز والصريح والكناية. So this taqseem of باعتبار استعمال can also be split further into two. Okay. So the first one في المعنى الموضوع في استعماله في المعنى الموضوع له أو غيره. Is it being used for its literal meaning or not? And the second one, that is it being used in a clear manner or in a hidden manner? Okay. So based on this, there are four types: haqiqat and majaz, sarih and kinaya. Okay. So haqiqat and majaz are two types based on istimaluhu fi al-ma'na al-mawdu' lahu aw ghayrih. And sarih and kinaya are two separate types based on استعماله مع انكشاف معناه أو معناه أو استتاره. So therefore, these are two separate types. Okay, and it's important to understand this because sometimes a word could be حقيقت and صريح at the same time, or it could be حقيقت and كناية at the same time. Similarly, a word could be مجاز and صريح, or a word could be مجاز and كناية. Okay, so these are not four separate types. These are two groups of two types. So all words will either be haqiqat or majaz. It can't be both at the same time. All words will either be sarih or kinaya. It won't be both at the same time. Okay. Next slide, please. Yeah. So this picture can help us understand it a little further. So the first categorization was based on literal meaning. So the image on the left shows that haqiqat means literal meaning and majaz is metaphorical. Okay. Any non-literal meaning in Arabic will be majaz. Any non-literal meaning will be majaz. So the examples given of salah. In Sharia, when we use the word salah, then we all know the meaning is a specific worship which Muslims pray five times a day, which consists of ruku and sujood. Yeah, this is the literal meaning of salah in Sharia. But sometimes the word salah is also used for dua. So now this will be a majaz. Okay. In Shara, because in our urf and in our Sharia, when you say when salah on its own comes, it means namaz, what we call in Farsi or Urdu, salah, the prayer. But salah can also mean any dua. So in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُظَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. So over there, the salah is in the meaning of dua. So that's majaz. Shara'an, that is majaz. Also, the word lion. So the literal meaning of the word lion is the animal. However, lion can also mean brave. Okay? So if I say Zaydun Asadun, Zayd is a lion. So now we know that Zayd is not literally an animal lion, but it means a lion is known for its bravery. So by saying Zayd is a lion, we're trying to say Zayd is brave. Okay. So this is the first taqseem, or the first part of this taqseem. And then we have the second part of the taqseem of sarih and kinaya. The words are either sarih or kinaya. Sarih means explicit. The meaning is clear. You know, anybody who hears it will understand what is meant by it. Whereas kinaya, metonymic, means it's not clear because there is more than one possible meaning. Okay, there is more than one possible meaning. So just by listening to it, you wouldn't know which meaning is intended. All right, so it depends on the intention of the speaker. So we need to now look into which meaning did the speaker intend. Okay? So this is different to mushtarak, because mushtarak was a word which literally has two meanings. Kinaya is a word which has two meanings or more, but these are not literal. One could be literal, one could be metaphoric, both could be metaphoric. Okay? Or both could be literal, in which case it's mushtarak and kinaya at the same time. But the point is that kinaya is any word which could have more than one meaning, and whereas in mushtarak, it had to be more than one literal meaning. So if you look at the examples here, if a person says to his wife, "I divorce you," this is sarih, because when people use the word divorce, it only has one meaning. Okay, there's no majaz or no metaphorical meanings for it. There's no ambiguity. We all understand what it means. Okay, so it's straightforward. But if a man says to his wife, "Anti ba'in," you are separated. You are separate. Okay. Now, this could mean divorce, or it could mean some other kind of separation, right? That I want you to just separate from me for a while, you know, go away for a while. Okay, we're going to separate temporarily. We're going to have a break, like they say. So, it's not clear whether he meant divorce or not. So, what would we need to do? We need to ask him his intention. We'd have to ask him that when you said to your wife, "You are separated," what did you mean? Did you mean divorce? If he says, "Yes, my intention was divorce," that would be a divorce. If he says, "No, my intention was just, you know, to have some time away from each other," then that would be his intention. Okay. However, sometimes the situation, the dalalatul hal, can indicate towards an intention. Okay. So say a husband and wife were having a discussion or an argument, and they were discussing divorce. The wife is asking for a divorce, for example. And in that context, he says, okay, you're separated. We're done. Like, you know, we're done. Or it's done, for example. And then, you know, they brought to a qadi, a judge in an Islamic setting, or they brought to a mufti, and the mufti will question, "What did you mean by that?" And he says, no, I didn't mean divorce." Still, the judge or the mufti can say that, no, based on dalalatul hal, based on the situation, it's quite apparent and it's clear that you must have meant divorce. So therefore, we will take your intention as divorce, and we will consider the divorce to be done. Okay, so in kinaya, in reality, the only thing that matters is the intention of the speaker. But sometimes the dalalatul hal, the situation, can tell us or can indicate to what the real intention was. Okay, so now in Quran and Sunnah, if we have a word which is kinaya, and many words are kinaya, okay, then it's up to the ulama, the mujtahideen, to look into that, those words, and to try and understand the what is the intended meaning of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, so in Sarih, there's no real ijtihad needed. The meaning is quite clear to anyone who understands the Arabic language. Whereas in Kinaya, there will be some need for some ijtihad to understand what is the intended meaning. Okay, so we'll read through the text now. تعريف الحقيقة. The definition of حقيقة. الحقيقة لفظ أريد به ما وضع له. حقيقة is a word by which its literal meaning is intended. Okay. So, كالأسد للحيوان المفترس. Like the word أسد for the predatory animal. والصلاة للأركان المخصوصة. Unlike the word صلاح for the specific arkan, specific acts, meaning قيام, ركوع and سجود, a specific form of worship. Yeah. حكمها وجود ما وضع له خاصا كان أو عاما. I think this should be وجوب. Right? I think this is a typing error, والله أعلم. Their ruling is, if it's wujud, then the existence of what it was made for, or the necessity of what it was made for, the necessity of the literal meaning, be it khas or am. So the word could be khas or am, and then the rulings of khas and am will apply. But if we know that a word is being used as its haqiqat, then we have to act upon that. Okay, we have to act upon that word. If there's a command, then we have to fulfill that command. There is a ruling, we have to accept that ruling, and so on. On the other hand, majaz. The definition of majaz, al-majazu lafzun urida bihi ghayru ma wudi'a lahu. Majaz is a word by which something other than its literal meaning is intended. Li munasabatin baynahuma, due to some commonalities between them, due to some appropriate link. Okay. So remember, the haqiqat and majaz should always have a link. You can't just pick a random word and make it majaz. Okay. There has to be some reason for using that majaz. And if you go into the advanced books of usul or even balagha, they mention around, I think, 25 or 26 methods of majaz. So inshallah, that can be studied at a more advanced level. So the haqiqat and majaz must have a link. Kal asadi lirrajul shuja'i, like the word asad, lion, for a brave person or a brave man. So there's a link there. A lion is a brave animal, therefore anyone that is brave is called lion. That's the munasabah, that's the link. Okay. حكمه وجود ما استعير له خاصا كان أو عاما. That وجود or وجوب, the existence or the necessity of what it is. استعير literally means to borrow. So the word is being borrowed. Okay, it's been used metaphorically, whether it's خاص or عام. Okay? So if a word is being used مجازاً, in other words, a word is being borrowed. Like when we say Zayd is a lion, we're borrowing the word lion for brave, for the meaning of brave. So this is isti'ara. This is using a word metaphorically. So if a word is used in its metaphorical meaning, then we must accept that and we must act upon it. We must accept it as its metaphor, as its metaphorical meaning. Okay, but then there are many rules around haqiqat and majaz, which we will study at a later point, inshallah. Now, the third type of word, bi'atibari al-isti'amal, in terms of usage, is sarih. So, ta'rif al-sarih, the definition of sarih is, as-sarihu lafzun yakunu al-muradu bihi wadihan. Sarih is a word whose intended meaning is clear. Okay, murad means intended meaning, and wadih means apparent, clear. Okay, it's obvious. كَبِعْتُ وَاشْتَرَيْتُ, like the words, I buy, I sell. Okay? So, if, you know, a person is selling a car and the other person says, the seller says, بِعْتُكَ هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةَ, I say, I've sold you this car. And the customer says, أَنَا اشْتَرَيْتُهَا وَقَبِلْتُهَا, that I've purchased it, I've accepted it, I've bought it. Now, if he comes back the next day and says, oh, you know, when I said ishtaraitu, I didn't mean ishtaraitu, I meant something else. I meant a metaphorical meaning, it was a kinaya, I meant something else. Anybody's going to say, it's obvious that when you said ishtaraitu, you meant you buy the car. You agreed to purchasing the car, it's yours now. You can't go back on your contract, you can't go back on your sale. Okay, so it's apparent to anyone what the meaning is. And if you try to say it meant something else, then that cannot be acceptable. Okay? So, حُكْمُهُ يُجِبُ ثُبُوتَ مَعْنَاهُ, that it necessitates its, the establishment of its meaning. Okay? The meaning is established. Therefore, وَلَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى النِّيَّةِ, it does not need any intention. Meaning, there's always an intention there, but we don't consider the intention. We won't ask what was your intention, because the wording is so clear that it could have only meant one thing. كَقَوْلِهِ أَنْتِ طَالِقٍ, like if a man says to his wife, you are divorced, يُفِيدُ الْحُكْمَ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَاجَةٍ إِلَى النِّيَّةِ, then it will give benefit of the ruling. In other words, it will cause the ruling of the talaq to occur without any need for intention. So if a man said to his wife, أَنْتِ طَالِقٍ, we won't ask what was your intention. We won't try and look into his intention, because it's very clear what his intention was. On the other hand, kinaya, the definition of kinaya is al-kinayatu lafzun la yufhamu ma'nahu illa bi qarina. Kinaya is a word whose meaning cannot be understood except with a indication. Qarina, a sign or an indication. كَقَوْلِهِ, and what will that indication be? Like I mentioned earlier, either intention or dalalatul hal. Like a person says, anti ba'in, you are separate. Now the word ba'in in the Arabic language is actually a form of mushtarak, okay, a homonym. Because if ba'in is from, could be from bainuna, which means separation. So if a man says anti ba'in, then that could mean you are separated. Or ba'in can also be from bayan. Okay? Ba'na yabinu bayinunatan and ba'na yabinu bayanan. So if the word ba'in is from the masdar and the root word of bayan, then it means apparent and clear. So if a man says to his wife, anti ba'in, it could mean you are separated, or it could mean you are very clear, you are very apparent, you're very obvious, right? So that's why, first of all, it has two possible meanings. And then even if we say it's from bainuna, then separation could be talaq, or separation could be without talaq. He might just want her to be away from him for some time. So therefore, this word is kinaya. There's no single clear meaning. حُكْمُهُ يُجِبُ ثُبُوتَ مَعْنَاهُ عِنْدَ وُجُودِ النِّيَّةِ, that it necessitates the establishment of its meaning. Okay, so the rule will follow that meaning. If there is intention in the wujud in niyyah, when there is intention, أو بدلالة الحال, or if there is in if there is context, if there is indication by way of the situation. بدلالة الحال, if the context indicates to a certain meaning. And like I mentioned earlier, in reality, it's the niyyah that matters. In kinaya, it's the intention of the speaker. So there's a word, there's more than one possible meaning, so the speaker must have meant one or the other. So what we consider and what counts and what matters is his intended meaning. However, because we don't know the intended meaning, so sometimes we just ask them, what was your intention? Or sometimes the context, the situation, the circumstances around them can tell us what the real intended meaning was. Sorry, I'm not sure what's happening here. Some technical problem with this. So now we come on to the third taqseem. I'm sorry about this glitch. Okay, the third taqseem. So like I mentioned earlier, right, that the taqseems are of how many types? We mentioned there were five taqseems in total. The first one was بَاعْتِبَارِ الْوَضَعِ in terms of the literal meaning, and that was خَاص عَام مُشْتَرَكْ مُؤَوَّلْ. The second was بَاعْتِبَارِ الْإِسْتِعْمَالِ, and they were حَقِيقَةْ مَجَازْ صَرِيحْ and كِنَايَة. So now the third taqseem, التَقْسِيمُ الثَّالِثِ بِاعْتِبَارِ ظُهُورِ الْمَعْنَى وَخِفَائِهِ. That in terms of the meaning being clear or ambiguous, unclear. Okay, so some words, some sentences, and some kalam can be more clear than others. Okay, so in this case, there are four types of words in terms of being clear and four in terms of being hidden. اللفظ باعتبار ظهور المعنى على أربعة أقسام. That a word in terms of how clear its meaning is can be of four types. الظاهر والنص والمفسر والمحكم. ظاهر, نص, مفسر and محكم. We'll explain each one in the following pages. وباعتبار خفائه أيضا على أربعة أقسام. And in terms of being hidden, it is also of four types. Al-khafi, wal-mushkil, wal-mujmal, wal-mutashabih. Khafi, mushkil, mujmal, and mutashabih. فَهِيَ مِنَ الْمُتَقَابِلَاتِ. Therefore, these are from the opposites. Okay, so these are often referred to as the opposites. What does that mean? Zahir is the opposite of khafi. Okay, zahir is the lowest degree in how clear it is, and khafi is the lowest degree in terms of how unclear it is. Okay, then nas is the opposite of mushkil. Nas is at the lowest degree in terms of how clear it is. Mushkil is second. Nas is second in terms of how clear, and mushkil is second in terms of how unclear it is. And then mufassar and mujmal are opposites of each other, because mufassar is the third most clear and mujmal is the third most unclear. And finally, muhkam and mutashabih are opposites. Muhkam is the most clear and mutashabih is the most unclear. Okay, so all of these, zahir, nas, mufassar, muhkam, the ruling is the same. The meaning is clear. You have to act upon it. It's wujub al-amal. They are qat'i. There is no doubt. The difference is irrelevant to each other. So nas is more clear than al-zahir. Therefore, if you have a dalil, or if you have a case where there is a zahir and a nas, and you have to choose between them, because nas is more stronger, it's clearer, therefore the nas should take preference. Similarly, if you have mufassar and nas, mufassar gets precedence and preference because it's stronger, and mufassar and muhkam, they don't really, I don't know of any situations where they go against each other, but in theory, if they were, then muhkam is stronger than mufassar. Similarly, khafi and mushkil, khafi is slightly unclear, mushkil is more unclear. Therefore, mushkil needs more work and more effort to understand. Okay, and mujmal is more unclear than mushkil, so we can't really, mujmal cannot be understood without without some clarity from the speaker. So, and mutashabi is one where we really have no hope of understanding. There's no hope of understanding it. So this is the, so the difference between these is all relevant, that is between them. Otherwise, the ruling is the same. Okay. So to define them, ta'rifu al-zahir. Al-zahiru kalamun zahara al-muradu bihi lis-sami'i binafsi al-sama'i min ghayri ta'ammulin. Qawlihi ta'ala wa ahalla Allahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba zahirun fi hil al-bay'i wa hurmati al-riba. Zahir is such a speech whose meaning is clear for the listener just by listening, without any need to ponder and think. Ta'ammul, to ponder, to think deep into something. So there's no real need to think about it. كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, like Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. Allah has made bay halal. Allah has made trade halal. وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ, and Allah Ta'ala has prohibited riba. Yeah. So the context of this ayah is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited riba, and over here by riba in this context is talking about riba al-fadl, where sometimes you have say 1 sa', okay, 1 liter of dates of very good quality, and somebody wants to exchange that for 2 sa', or 2 liters of dates of a lower quality. This is not allowed. You have to exchange in equal measure. Similarly with gold and silver, you know, 5 grams should be in exchange for 5 grams. You can't do 5 grams for 10 grams. So some of the mushrikeen and some of the kuffar objected that innama al-bay'u mithlu riba, that if I want to sell you something for cash, okay, or if I want to trade, say I want to sell you wheat in exchange for gold or for money, then there's no limit. I can set the price. As long as the buyer and seller agree, then there's no problem. So why is it that when we're selling dates for dates, or wheat for wheat, or gold for gold, then we can't decide on how much we're going to sell it for? We have to sell in equal measure. This was their objection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a very clear answer. In Urdu, we refer to this as a hakimana jawab. Yeah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his authority here. That you may think the bay and riba are the same. According to your logic, according to your understanding, they may be the same. However, there is one significant difference, and that difference is أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. Allah ta'ala has made bay halal, and Allah ta'ala has made riba haram. Simple, full stop. So regardless of what your logic says, if Allah has made it haram, then it's haram. Okay. So from this, one thing that is very clear, the bay is halal and riba is haram. Okay. Anybody who reads this verse can understand immediately that bay is halal. So selling things is halal. Therefore, if somebody says, oh, where's your dalil that you're allowed to sell things, it's in the Quran. Allah said bay is halal. Where's your dalil that riba is haram? Allah says it here in the Quran that riba is haram. Simple. Okay, so it's very clear. And therefore, the hukam is وجوب العمل بما ظهر منه خاصا كان أو عاما مع احتمال إرادة الغير. The hukam is that it's necessary to act upon that which is apparent, which is zahir, whether it's khas or am, with the possibility of a different intended meaning. Meaning, if it's an am, then sometimes you have ihtimal of takhsis. Okay, for example, over here, al-bay' is am in the sense that there are many different types of wuyu'. So it doesn't necessarily mean that every single bay' has to be halal. There may be some types of bay' other than riba which are haram. So the ihtimal of takhsis is there. Okay, and there's also a ihtimal of ta'wil in some cases, not necessarily here, but sometimes a zahir, there's possibility of interpretation, meaning that it doesn't mean what it seems. Many a times we use words, but we mean something else. There is possibility of ta'wil. So if we find indication in a nas elsewhere, we find indication in another Quran ayah, or in another hadith, which tells us that there is takhsis or ta'wil in this zahir text and in this zahir word, then we may have to accept that ta'wil or takhsis. There is a possibility of meaning something else. In other words, there is a possibility of ta'wil and takhsis. The second type of kalam in terms of ظهور المعنى وخفاؤه is النص ما سيق الكلام لأجله. So نص is ظاهر, but it has an additional feature, and the additional feature is ما سيق الكلام لأجله, that the kalam was brought for its sake. Okay. In other words, نص is the purpose of the kalam. نص is the purpose of the kalam. That what's the reason for bringing this kalam? So I already indicated, okay, that كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, the same example. But what was the purpose of this kalam? سِيقَ لِبَيَانِ التَّفْرِقَةِ بَيْنَ الْبَيْعِ وَالْرِبَى. Because the kuffar said إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعِ مِثْلُ الْرِبَى, that bay and riba are the same. So the purpose was, no, they're not the same. So this ayah and this verse has been brought in order to explicitly show the difference between trade and riba. So, حكمه وجوب العمل بما وضح منه خاصا كان أو عاما مع احتمال التأويل والتخصيص. The ruling of this is that it is necessary of it, whether it's khas or am, however, with the possibility of ta'wil and takhsis. In reality, zahir and nas, the hukam is the same, that you have to act upon it, but we have to acknowledge that there is possibility of ta'wil or takhsis, and this is why, if in any other, in Quran or hadith or qiyas or some other reason, we have an indication to believe that this is not on its apparent meaning, the apparent meaning is not intended, then we may have to accept that. Okay. So now, what's the difference then between Zahir and Nas? So the difference only becomes apparent when they contradict each other. If you have a Zahir and a Nas, and there is Ta'aruz, then because Nas is stronger, we should act according to the Nas. Okay? There's an example of this given in the Kitab Usul al-Fiqh al-Islami by Sheikh Wahba al-Zuhayli, rahimahullah ta'ala. He passed away a few years ago. And he did some great work. May Allah have mercy on him. He's a scholar from Syria. So Sheikh Wahba al-Zuhayli gives an example of the difference between Zahir and Nas, that in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Yeah, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the muharramat. Harimat alaykum ummahatukum wa banatukum wa akhawatukum wa muhsanatu min al-nisa'i. That there's a whole list of women that a person is not allowed to marry. And then Allah ta'ala says, wa uhilla lakum ma wara'a dhalikum. Now, the zahir of this ayah is that any woman who is not part of that list is halal. Therefore, if a man has four wives, he should be able to marry a fifth. If he has five, he should be able to marry a sixth. So the zahir of that verse, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ, you can marry as many women as you want, as long as they are not from the muharramat, as long as it's not your mother or your sister or your auntie or your niece, etc. And she's not already married. Okay. However, another verse, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. The nas of that verse is to limit the number of wives for a man to four. Okay, so on the one hand, we have a verse which indicates that a man should be allowed to marry as many women as he wants. And on the other hand, we have a verse which indicates that a man should only be allowed to marry up to four wives. Now, the first one, which says a man can have as many wives as he want, which apparently seems to could indicate towards that, that is what we call zahir, because the purpose of that verse was something else. The purpose of that verse was to just say that you can marry other than your muharramat, and the fact that you can marry as many as you want is established as zahir, not as nas. It's not the purpose of the ayah. But in the second ayah, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ, the actual purpose of the verse is to limit the number to four. So that's what we called, nas. So obviously, nas is stronger than zahir. Therefore, the whole ummah agrees, or at least Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah agree, that the number of wives a man is allowed to have is four. Okay, so nas is stronger than zahir. If you have ta'arud between nas and zahir, we must give preference to the nas. Other than that, their ruling is the same, that we have to act upon them both, but they both have possibility of iradatul gayr or possibility of ta'wil and takhsis. Yeah. The third type of word in terms of clarity is, or kalam in terms of clarity is mufassar. The definition of mufassar, al-mufassaru ma zahara al-muradu bihi min al-lafzi bi-bayanin min qibal al-mutakallimi bi-haythu la yabqa ma'ahu ihtimalu al-ta'wili wa-takhsis. Qawlihi ta'ala, fasajda al-malaikatu kulluhum ajma'un. Mufassar is a word whose meaning is apparent from the word and with some explanation from the speaker in such a way that with it there is no possibility or no possibility remains of ta'wil and takhsis, interpretation or specification. Qawlihi ta'ala, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Okay, so if we see in this word, in wording, there is فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels prostrated. The word malaika over here is an arm word. Okay, and therefore there is ihtimal of takhsis. Okay, that the angels prostrated before Adam alayhi salam, but there is the possibility that some angels were not present, some angels didn't take part. Okay, some if Allah Ta'ala just said فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَ, then there is a possibility that some angels did not prostrate. However, when Allah Ta'ala said كُلُّهُمْ and أَجْمَعُون, then it becomes very clear that all of the prophet, all of the angels did prostrate, and none of the angels did not take part. Okay, all of the angels did sajda. And Mufassirun also explained that the benefit of bringing the word ajma'un is to say that they all prostrated altogether. Okay? sometimes, you know, if a few prostrated now, a few prostrated later, if they did it in small groups at different times, it doesn't have the same effect, the same meaning, or the same power. But all the angels prostrated at once. So now there's no possibility of any ta'wil takhsis, that it means, you know, such they mean something else, or they may have prostrated in small groups, or they may have, some may have not taken part. All these possibilities are completely cancelled out and annihilated. There's no possibility of any ta'wil takhsis. Okay? So if Fasil al-Malaika itself would have been Zahir on us. But Wariyat kulluhum ajma'un, in that respect, it's now become Mufassar. That those forms of ta'wil and takhsis are eliminated because of this tafsir and this clarification. And hukmuhu, what's the ruling? Wujubu al-amali bimadlulihi qat'an. That it's necessary to act upon its madlul, indicated meaning. Qat'an, necessarily. Yeah, without any doubt, without any possibility of any other meaning. Ma'ahtimari naskhi fi zaman al-wahyi. With the possibility of nasq during the zaman of wahy, the time of wahy. This is the difference between the mufassar and the next one, muhkam. The only mufassar and muhkam are both the same strength in terms of clarity. The only difference is that with mufassar, there was a possibility of nasq during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas in muhkam, there was never any possibility of abrogation. Okay? So this example, فَسَجْدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ, even though in most books of Usul al-Fiqh, it's commonly used as an example of Mufassar. This is very easy to explain. But in reality, this ayat is also muhkam. Okay? And there's no tazad, there's no munafat, they're not mutually exclusive, there's no contradiction between the two. A word can be mufassar and muhkam at the same time. Okay? So this is an example of mufassar. It's also an example of muhkam. So because this is a khabar, and in akhbar, there's no ihtimal of nasq. Ihtimal of nasq, abrogation can only happen in ahkam, in commands and prohibitions. Okay? Something could have been haram and then it's made halal, or something halal could be haram. Like wine, in the early days of Islam, it was halal, and then it was made haram. Okay, something could be farz, and then it's no longer farz, like the fasting of Ashura. So in ahkam, you can have nasq, abrogations and changes in hukam. But when it comes to akhbar, like if Allah Ta'ala says the angels prostrated, then it's impossible for a wahi to come and say actually the angels didn't prostrate, because that would mean that the previous hukum was the previous khabar was a lie, which is not possible. Okay? So therefore, the Fasajid al-Malaikatul Ajma'un is used as an example for Mufassar, but in reality it's Muhkam. So a Muhkam will be Mufassar, Nas and Zahir. Okay? A Mufassar will also be Nas and Zahir, it might not be Muhkam. Okay? A Nas will be Zahir, but it might not be Mufassar or Muhkam. And a Zahir doesn't have to be any of the above. So these are not four opposites of each other. They're not four different types. Rather, each one is the one before it, but with some additional features. Nas is Zahir in the sense that meaning is apparent, but the additional feature it has is that Nas is the intended meaning, whereas Zahir is not always the intended or the purpose of the speech. Okay, Mufassar is usually Nas as well, in the sense that it is the purpose of the kalam. It's Zahir because it's clear, but the additional feature it has is that there is such clarity and such explanation which removes the previous possibility of Ta'wil Takhsis or Iradatul Ghayr, which would have been there if not for that tafsir. And Muhkam is the same as Mufassar, but the additional feature it has is that it has no possibility of abrogation. ده brings us to محكم. المحكم مزداد قوة على المفسر. محكم is a word which is further in strength or greater in strength than a مفسر, بحيث لا يقبل التأويل والتخصيص والنسخ أصلا. In such a manner that it can never accept any interpretation or تخصيص, any specification or any abrogation at all. Okay? There's no possibility of these things. كقوله تعالى إن الله بكل شيء عليم. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of all things. So, this is such a absolute truth that Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of everything, that there can be no interpretation. Nobody can say, oh, بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, maybe this بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ is, you know, doesn't mean everything. Some places in the Quran, you know, تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. Okay? So, in some places, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ doesn't actually mean everything. It means a lot of things. So, there can be some things, some exclusions. But in this particular verse, بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ literally means بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of everything. There is not even the most minute detail in the universe which Allah does not have knowledge of. Therefore, Allah has knowledge of everything. There is no ihtimal of it meaning something else, which will be ta'wil, or certain exclusions, which will be takhsis, or abrogation, that can never change. It's not possible that at some time in the future, Allah will not have knowledge of everything. This will never change. Therefore, it's muhkam. It can never change. وقوله تعالى إن الله لا يظلم الناس شيئا. Allah does not wrong the people in anything or in any way. So Allah doesn't do zulm. This is also an absolute truth. There is no interpretation to this. Somebody might say, oh, some types of zulm are possible. نعوذ بالله. No. Allah Ta'ala is fair. Allah is Allah's promise. Allah doesn't do any wrong. Allah doesn't do any zulm. Whatever Allah does is just and fair. And this can never change. It can never be abrogated. Okay. Also, an-nas is am. There's no ihtimal of takhsis in there. We can't say that certain people are intended, certain people are excluded. No, this is am. And it includes all people. Nobody can be excluded from this. There's no ta'wil, no takhsis, no nasq. It's absolute, it's muhkam. حكمه لزوم العمل والاعتقاد به لا محالة. That it is necessary to act upon it and to believe it with necessity. لا محالة, without any possibility of any change or any difference. So if we have a muhkam, hukam, if a command is muhkam, we have to act upon it. If it's relation to belief, which they mostly are, then we have to believe it. It's part of our aqidah, and we can't not believe in it. So these four, this taqseem was in relation to how clear a word is. Zahir is clear. Nas is more clear than that because it's the intended meaning. Mufassal is even more clear because there is some tafsir. And muhkam is absolutely clear. It can never change. On the other hand, وَلِهَذِهِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ أَرْبَعَةٌ أُخْرَى تُقَابِلُهَا. These four have another four which are opposite to them. How? So الْخَفِيُّ. So khafi is the opposite of zahir. Al-khafiyu ma khafiya muraduhu bi'aridhin ghayri siga. Qawlihi ta'ala was-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydihuma. Zahirun fi as-sariqi khafiyun fi at-tarrari wan-nabbash. The khafi is a word whose meaning is hidden due to some impediment, not in the actual word. Okay? Khafi is an expression where the meaning is obscure, where the meaning is unclear. You could say due to an external reason. Okay? Not due to the actual word. Okay? If you look at the example here, فَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْتَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. So, in this example, the word sariq is very clear. Because if you look in the books of Arabic language, okay, saraqa has a very clear definition. أخذوا مالين محترمين خفية من مكان محرزين. If I remember correctly, the definition of saraqa is to unlawfully take wealth of a certain value or considerable value from a protected place. Okay, so if you steal something from public, for example, somebody left their wallet on a park bench, they left their mobile phone on the park bench and they left it, went away, and then somebody comes and steals it, this will not be classed as saraqa. It's still haram, it's a sin, and you know, if the person is caught, the rulers can punish how they see appropriately, but the punishment of saraqa will not apply. Okay, or if something is if the thing being stolen is of very very little value, it's something which is usually available for free, in these cases this will not be classed as sariqa. Okay, it's not stealing, it's not sariqa, sorry. So it's still stealing and there will be some punishment for it, but that punishment will not be the same as the punishment of sariqa. So the definition of the word sariqa is very clear. However, there are two categories of people with regards to whom it's not very clear. One is the tarrar. Tarrar is a pickpocket. Okay, pickpocket. So if a person, you know, a person is walking and a pickpocket puts his hands in his pocket and steals. Now, should that be classed as sariqa or not? It's not very clear. Okay, because does it fit that definition? Let's go back to the definition: to unlawfully and secretly take something from a of value from a protected place. Okay, from a protected place. That's key here. So somebody had his mobile phone in his pocket, he was walking, and the thief puts his hand in the pocket and steals it. Is the pocket a protected place? There's no padlock on there. Okay, you're out in public, you're in the park, you're looking the other way. So it's not very protected, it's open there for anyone to take. So somebody could say that no, that should not be classed as sariqa. So this needs a little bit of thinking. Okay. It needs a little bit of pondering. You have to look into it, look deep into it, that would it be classed as sariqa or not? Okay. And when the ulama did look into it, they came to the conclusion that yes, the tarrar and the pickpocket is a sariq and he should receive the same punishment as a sariq. Because the ulama decided that a pickpocket is stealing from a protected place. A person's pocket is secure. You don't expect somebody to just put their hand in your pocket. You don't expect someone to just take something out of your pocket. You put it in your pocket or your handbag specifically for the purpose that it will be safe. Okay. Therefore, tarrar does come under the definition of sariq. The second example is of Nabbash. Nabbash is a grave thief. Okay. I don't think this is common now, but in previous times, you know, sometimes people will be buried in very expensive material, very expensive coffin. So certain thieves, their profession would be that when they know that somebody wealthy has died and they've been buried, they'd go in the same evening when they were buried, they'd go dig up the grave and steal that cloth and then sell it. So this is Nabbash. So again, can a Nabbash be classed as a sariq or not? So, is the grave a protected place or not? Okay, because coming back to the definition of sariqa, that to steal something of value, so yes, it's of value, the cloth is usually more than 10 dirhams, it's of value, considerable value, and it's then khufiyatan, it's hidden. Okay, the thief doesn't, the grave digger doesn't go in the daytime when everyone's looking. He goes silently and secretly at night when no one's around. But the question is the grave a protected place or not? So now this is something where the fuqaha had to really think into it, and they did the ijtihad, and they came up with different conclusions. Okay, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi concluded that the grave is not a protected place, because the graveyard is public, and it's very easy for anyone to dig up. Therefore, it's not protected. Okay, the dead person can't protect themselves in any way. So therefore, this does not come under the definition of sariqa. Whereas Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi felt that no, the grave is a protected place, and this is sariqa. And therefore, the same punishment should apply if that person is found to be committing this crime. So the point over here is that the word sariq, the person who performs the act of sariqa or sariqa, has a known meaning. However, in certain aspects and with regards to certain individuals, the meaning is unclear. So what's the hukam? Hukmuhu, the ruling is wujub al-talabi. It is necessary to ponder, to think, okay, and to try to come to a conclusion with regards to the meaning. Hatta yazula anhu al-khifa, until the ambiguity can be removed. On the other hand, we have mushkil. Okay. The second type is mushkil. المشكل مزداد خفاء على الخفي كمن حلف بأنه لا يأتدم حكمه لا ينال المراد منه إلا بالطلب ثم التأمل في معناه. مشكل is something which is even more hidden than a khafi. Like a person who takes the oath that he will not consume idam. Idam means to consume a condiment like a curry. Okay. So the difference between khafi and mushkil is that in a mushkil, the actual word is not clear. Over here, the word in question is ya'tadimu. Okay, this is the mudari of itidam. So what is the actual meaning of itidam? That is not clear. In the previous example, the definition of sariqa was clear. We knew exactly what the definition of sariqa was. It was just that certain individuals, we weren't sure if they came under that. Okay. Over here in itidam, what does itidam actually mean? There's some difference of opinion in there. Okay, and since we're approaching the end of the lesson, inshallah, what I'll do is we'll expand on this further in the next lesson, because I don't think we have enough time. So, inshallah, in the following lesson, we'll learn about why i'tidam is mushkil rather than khafi, and what's the difference between the two. So, we'll stop there for the next lesson. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina wa lana muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.